Our church called us to be the pastor here this past April. So we've been studying through the Gospel of John since then. And well, we are in chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, please turn to John 11. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. This is the reading of God's Word. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Thus ends the reading of God's word. On a January morning of 2007, so about 14 years ago, I'm going to butcher the name here, Lafont Plaza subway station, Washington, D.C., after the sermon, if I mispronounced it, please come and correct me. This hall was about to be filled with music. At exactly 7:51 a.m. during rush hour, an ordinary-looking man dressed in jeans and wearing a baseball cap nonchalantly took out his $3.5 million Stradivarius violin and got ready to play. The man was Joshua Bell, one of the finest violinists alive. Here was one of the best musicians in the world playing in the subway station for free, but no one seemed to care. Of the 1,097 people who walked by, hardly anyone noticed. One man stopped for a few minutes, a couple of kids stared, and one woman who happened to recognize the violinist gasped in disbelief. Just as the people did not realize a virtuoso playing his violin, so many people do not realize what a great and amazing God our God really is. If we only knew how great our God is, then we would delight to sit at his feet and drink from his fountain that he is. Though our passage today is about raising a dead person named Lazarus, for us today, I wanted to turn the focus to what precedes the resurrection and learn a little bit more about how much our God really truly values our prayers, hoping with that message it will strengthen you and it will encourage you and it will excite you to bless and to pray to our God in your life. So I want us to notice 3 things about how God sees our prayers. First, God values the prayers of his people. God values the prayers of his people. You see, John wrote the story of Lazarus here, and he was very careful to show the sequence. The healing began only after the request was made. Let's turn to our Bible here, shall we? Chapter 11, verse 1. It begins, "Now a man named Lazarus was" what? "Was sick." So who knew this? God already knew. But then if we go to verse 3, here are the sisters taking their actions. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And then we'll jump to verse 7. And you see, he says, "And then." Okay, remember verse 1, he knew. Verse 3, the sister sent word. Now, only afterwards in verse 7, it says, "And then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea. See, before I explain, please do not misunderstand and think that if you don't request, then there is no answer from God. See, the Bible has taught us, before we ask, our God already knows, and he answers us. Turn to Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, or Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. You will get those things. But the point I want to make here is this, that our request is not a condition to God's answer. In fact, God can answer even when you and I don't even ask. You see, if you could only see, then we would have seen that there's so many things in our world today that we have received without us even asking. Our breath, the pores in our skins, the bones in our bodies, the left and the right brains, family, friends, jobs, opportunities, the mountains and the sea, the sky and the stars. So many blessings God gave without us ever asking for most of them. You see, if God can give us without us asking, then some people might be asking, why should we pray? If we get it without even us asking, what's the point of prayer? Some people might ask. But I want you to understand this. In God's plan, he has ordained his work on earth to be accomplished through the prayers of his people. Let me repeat that. In God's plan, he has ordained his work on earth to be accomplished through the prayers of his people. So when you study church history, like all of us pastors have to in our seminary training, we will notice one thing. Whenever there was a mighty movement of God's spirit and power, there is always something that preceded before God's incredible display of his power. And he made his people come together to pray. So why does God wait for people to pray before he acts? It is because, as I said the first point, because God values the prayers of his people. See, in our story, the sequence is given to us to teach us on the importance of prayer, and therefore, God waited to answer the request. God waited to answer until the request was made by the people. Again, let's go back to chapter 11, verse 1. Remember, it began, now a man named Lazarus was sick. In other words, God knew before there ever was a plea what was happening in the life of Mary, Martha, and especially Lazarus. But as we saw, he does not act until he does in verse 7. Verse 1, he knew. But he waits until verse 7 to act. Why? Because in verse 3, it is the sisters who come to make their request and the plea. Did you see? Prayer is not a requirement for God's actions. But in God's infinite wisdom, the way he deals with us, with his children, he waits until we come out and plead with him. Let me take you to Exodus chapter 2. Something similar happens here. Verse 23 and verse 24. Right? This is a time when the Israelites were enslaved before the Egyptians for 470 years. Right? A long, long time. No, I'm sorry. Did I say 470? My bad. 430 years. Okay? It says, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery, right? And cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So did you see? God waited to act until the Israelites began to groan and pray. God is able to act any time. but he delights and waits for his people to pray before he begins to act. Why is this so important? How does this relate to you? It does in this way. You see, your voice or your prayers matters in heaven. Did you hear that? Your prayers matters in heaven. See, when we don't know what to say and we are lost for words still, God can hear us. When all we can say is, Lord, Lord, he still knows our hearts and he hears us. Even if we stammer or stumble, even if we have what we have to say impresses no one, did you know it impresses God and he listens? Our words do not stop until they reach the very throne of God. You see, your prayers reaches heaven. God hears all of our prayers. A little testimony here. I believe I'm a pastor today on the wings of my mother's prayer, because our God valued my mother's prayer. See, I felt a prayer one day when I was serving an internship all the way in South Korea during my training session, during my training, seminary training. That church had a prayer, all-night prayer, every Friday night, and I would faithfully go. But one day, I was so extremely exhausted, I did not think I had the strength to go on. I was just not going to go to that prayer meeting that night. And yet, long story short, I ended up walking to the prayer chapel and praying. Do you know why? You see, my mother was in L.A., 6,000 miles away, L.A., California. I was living in Masan, South Korea. And yet, 6,000 miles away, I felt her prayers for me, moved me to make my trek and go to that prayer chapel and spend that night again praying to my God. Folks, for most of us, did you know there are at least three people that are always praying for you? Sometimes they pray more for you than you do yourself. Did you know your pastor prays for you often? I remember you in my prayers. But did you know your Christian mother prays for you far more than any pastor does? Actually, there's someone who never stops to pray for you, and that's our God. Hebrews 7:25 tells us so. Your God never stops to intercede and pray for you. Oh, can I encourage you, to the people who pray for you? Will you learn to thank them, especially to our God? The second reason why God values our prayers so much is because he loves us. The person who came to Jesus does not say in verse 3, turn to that verse, he says, Lord, the one you love is sick, right? It doesn't say, Lord, the one who loves you is sick. Most of our praise songs, most of our Christian confession is, Lord, I love you. I will lay down my life for you. It's about us towards him. But notice the wording here in verse 3. It is not the person loving the Lord. It is the Lord, the one you love, is sick. Let me proclaim to you, my dear brothers and sisters, that your God truly loves you more than you love yourself. Do you believe that? Does God really love me more than I love me? Man, we've been taught in our world, you got to take care of yourself, right? We've been taught in the world, nobody cares for you as much as you care for you. You are your own captain of your life. Yes, that's what the world says. Actually, our own feelings tells us that all the time, don't it? It feels like sometimes even in our spousal relationship, even in our family relationship, it almost feels like me against them. So if I don't care for me, who will? Folks, God's word repeatedly tells us and proclaims to us, even more than you yourself, our God loves you more. Our God loves your family more than you love your own family. And so I want you to understand here, the reason why God values our prayer so much is because he loves you. Now, did you know the power of the prayer does not depend on the one who makes the prayer, but on the one who hears our prayers? Let me repeat that. The power of prayer does not depend on the person who makes the prayer, but on the one who hears the prayer. See, many Christians are often mistaken to think that in order to receive a favorable answer to our prayer, it rests on the power of the person praying. No, it does not. Because the power of the answer prayer is not in the speaker, us who pray, but on the listener, our God who listens. See, at times we have a tendency to think that God will not listen to us because we are not deserving of his goodness. Our reasoning is what? I have not been very obedient. I have not been doing my daily QT. I'm not very holy. Therefore, God would not want to hear me. You see, if prayer was about our qualification, then most of us, actually all of us, would be disqualified. Can I tell you the answer to your prayer does not depend on your qualification, but it depends on God's character. We know our love for Jesus wavers. We're not always very faithful to him, but our God, Jesus Christ, he's not like us. He is faithful. Even when you and I are faithless, his love for us is unconditional and unending. He promises us he will never leave us or forsake us. See, that's why we can talk to God, because we know he really listens. See, if you should ever question his heart for you, then can I encourage all of you, all of us, turn your eyes and look at that cross. And what do you see at the cross of Jesus? There, with his open wide arms, he tells us, "This is how much I love you." It was not the nails that made Jesus hung on that tree, but it was his love for you that made him stay there and endure all that misery. The reason why Jesus suffered the separation from his everlasting Father on the cross was so that you and I will never be separated again from our Heavenly Father. On the cross, Jesus tore the curtain of the Holy of Holies, which once barred sinners from entering into God's presence. But in Jesus' sacrifice, the way to the Father is now open wide. Though we were once enemies, now because of Jesus on his cross, we have become his children, the recipients of not only Jesus' love, but the Father who loves us like his Son, and the Holy Spirit who loves us with his eternal love. We are all hungry for more genuine love, aren't we? It is not only a woman thing. Men also need real love. If we only knew, if we could only taste how much our love, our God truly loves us, then our hearts and our mental health would be so much healthier, so much stronger. We wouldn't be so easily hurt or offended or broken. I know I crave God's love for my life because I know how weak I am. And that's my prayer as I pray for my wife, as I pray for you, our members. I pray that you, each of you, would genuinely taste and experience God's amazing love for each of us. May I remind us? we can boldly and confidently approach Jesus and plead for his help. And here's the reason why. See, that's the beauty of God's word. God doesn't just simply give us a blank statement and says, do it. God teaches us the reason why we can do what we do, and it is a glorious reason. And it is this. Why can we be so bold and confident and excited in our prayer life and plead with Jesus? Because we know the answer to the prayer is not based on our love for him. See, oftentimes in our world, we're constantly taught, if you are good, then you can make it happen. It's all about you. Not so. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not being the best version of ourselves. That's not Christianity. That's wonderful humanism, wonderful person perhaps, but it's not Christianity. It's not your love for Jesus that determines if our prayers will be answered or will be rejected. Not our love based on him, but based on something so much greater, on his love for us. Can I take you again to that verse 3, when the sister says to Jesus, Lord, the one what you love is sick. And that's the beauty. Some of us, we don't always love Jesus as we should, do we? Some of us are so selfish. Sometimes our thoughts are so evil and negative and dirty and dark. We would rather run away and reject God. And that's the beauty, my friends. You may reject God. He never does. Remember, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken so that none of you will ever be forsaken. The one you love is sick, he says. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. This is a glorious passage. He says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This almost reminds us, remember Esther? When Esther went and entered into the presence of the king, what did she say? If I perish, I perish. Why would she say something so frightening, so undeserving? She's the queen. So we would think she has every right to enter into the presence of her husband, the king. Not so at the time. The custom was, unless the king call for you, and if you should enter, volunteer to enter on your own free will, and if the king is displeased, that means your head will be chopped. No exception, including the queen. That's why Esther said, if I perish, I perish, Esther 4:16. Understanding how fearful and dangerous it is to enter the throne of the Almighty. Here again, Hebrews 4:16, it is under that background that this scripture is given. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Excuse me, confidence? You just might get killed. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is an incredible, stunning, almost reckless verse. Dear friends, see, our prayer life makes sense because our God, we know our God values our prayer because he loves us. And therefore, he will listen to us and he would answer our prayers in the best way for each of us. He knows what to do. But If you still have a lingering doubt, perhaps you don't, but I need to continue what I wrote. And I'm asking, how can we be sure that our God would answer our prayers? You see, our God not only has a wonderful heart of love for us, He loves us, okay? Remember, the first thing I said, He values our prayer. Why does He value our prayer? Because He loves us. Now, is that enough? Somebody who loves you? Not really. Love is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you got, then it's not very helpful. So, what do we learn? You see, our God not only has a wonderful heart of love for us, but He also has the almighty power to use it for us. And let me tell you, my dear friends, our God is a God who can do miracles. Remember Abraham. He was not sure if God could get even one son out of him. So God told him, go outside on a night when the night will be filled with stars. And then you know what He told him? Count. As if He could. How many there will be from that one man? Can I just tell you physically? Today it is said there are more than 17 million Jews all around. This is just physically. Spiritually, far more, of course. See, we worship and serve a God who just is beyond our imaginations and our thoughts. Let me take you to the prophet Jeremiah, verse 32. Verse 27, some verses you need to memorize because we all have our weakness. We all suffer with depression. We all have our inferior complex. We all have our self-doubts. Who doesn't? This guy does. And I figure you probably do too. As Jeremiah 32, verse 27, this is God speaking directly to His people. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. And then He asks a rhetorical question, right? What is it? Is anything too hard for me? Sometimes He asks the silliest questions. Questions that needs no answer because it is so obvious. Why is nothing too hard for our God? Because you see, God is a God who can make the impossible into possible. Our God can make the things miraculous, and our God is a God who can make the dead come to life. Let me take you to John 11, verse 43. We'll get to this section next week, but I just want to point out verse 43. Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! I was just thinking, imagine if Jesus just said, come out, the dead. Ooh, it ain't going to be only Lazarus. It will be everybody coming out of their tomb. Not exciting? Oh, man. Sometimes in my mind, when I picture those things, studying, all of a sudden I have to stop. Oh, all the dead coming out. What do you think Hollywood gets their idea? The Walking Dead? Think, yeah, there's so many movies like this. I was searching through, never mind. Oh boy, it is a miraculous thing. But we'll get to that a little bit next week. But imagine this Almighty God who loves us more than His own life. To Him we pray, and it is Him who delights to answer our prayers. Now, let me bring it down here and apply it to my own life. What happens when we pray? If I may, I'd like to share a couple of prayers that God gave in my own life. Many years ago, when I made the decision to go to seminary, it was against the wishes of my parents and my family. So I did not have much support, neither from the family nor financially. I wanted to learn to trust in God alone. So I remember one day, kneeling in my little room, dark room, praying to God and saying, Lord, I'm your child. To you I'll bring my prayer request and tell no other people. As I apply for my Master's of Divinity, you know, I have $50 in my checking account to pay for my tuition and the books and the apartment rentals and for food and in winter, new winter jacket I desperately needed to live in Chicago. I'm a California boy, right? Obviously, I was a little bit short, but I prayed to my God, and I believe he heard my prayers. So I acted in my faith and purchased a one-way plane ticket to Chicago to pursue my degree. To this day, I'm not sure how all of my needs were met. A couple of instances I know. God once used a youth group students, youth group junior high school students, whom I never met. One day they sent me a letter and a check for that exact amount that I needed that year. And then another year, my older brother once wrote a check that I never asked for. So thankful for him. But usually, I cannot remember how I pay for all of my needs. And all through the 4 years of my seminary training, even though I was completely broke, all of my tuition and other needs were always paid in full. Not only always paid in full, they were always paid promptly, never an hour or day late. One of these days, if you ever get to hear the details of how God answered those prayers, you'll see God did miracles in my life. Let me share one more experience of how God heard and answered my prayer, because he loves to answer the prayers of his children, and I am a child of God. Amen? Amen? We were on a short-term mission trip to Russia. As soon as the communism broke, we were there, one of the first teams to go in to Russia to minister to them. As it happened, one of our team members fell sick, very, very sick, in fact. The Russian doctor who checked her said she needed a surgery immediately. Now, it so happened that earlier that day, we went to visit the hospital where the doctor worked, and I was so concerned that it was not very clean. And I was just thinking to myself that afternoon, I will never bring anyone to this hospital. Now, I was told by the doctor of that hospital she needed a surgery immediately tonight, or otherwise she might not survive. How do you deal with a decision like that? Life and death. But of course, remember, earlier that day, I visited that hospital, and I feel so uneasy. I said to myself, I remember, I wasn't going to bring anyone to this hospital. So I surprised this doctor and our translator by telling them, thank you for your concern, but she's not going to receive a surgery tonight. And then I said one other thing. I told them, we are going to pray to our God to heal her. Normally, folks, please, please, please understand, I do not recommend what I did. Okay? Listen to the doctor. Listen to Michael, okay? And to Helen. But I believe this was an unusual circumstance, and I felt more at risk by allowing her to receive the surgery. So that night, we got very, very desperate and urgent. We got together and started praying for her intensely and, of course, passionately. Knowing if our God did not answer our prayer, our mission trip would turn into a funeral. Next morning, oh boy, we were so anxious to see how our sister was. Did she get better the next up through the night, or did we make the greatest mistake of any mission trip could ever do? Of course, as you know, if I was wrong in my decision, I wouldn't be standing here today. That morning, we saw her walk upright. Her voice sounded joyful. and the color of her face had life, which we had not seen for the last several days. You can all imagine, we were overjoyed, and me as the leader, I was so relieved. Because the night before, I was actually contemplating her death and thinking about the possibility of the headline news in the U.S. You read something like this, right? A young pastor killed a member of his mission team in Russia by refusing to allow the surgery she needed. That's what I went to bed with, you know, that thought. My brothers and sisters, she was healed because our God heard and answered our prayers. Why? Because he loves to answer our prayers, your prayers. Let me close this message by turning our attention to a person that is not really listed in our passage, but I want you to see how essential that person is, especially on behalf of the sisters. Once again, John chapter 11, verse 3, if you have your Bible, turn. It says what? So the sisters sent word. And then our passage just says to Jesus, the Lord, the one you love is sick. And I wrote a parenthesis there for you. This is so important. The sisters sent word. Did the word just carry miles and just land at Jesus? No, it didn't. In other words, even though it is not explicitly written in our scripture, when the sister sent the word, it means she sent it through someone. And this is important. Why? Because you see, this someone is not given a name. There are many wonderful people whose names we know, but there are also amazing people whose names we have never heard. We know the names of Lazarus' family, right? Martha, Mary, Lazarus. Yet, we're not given the name of the person who went on their behalf to our Lord to plead their cause. Did you know, usually, prayer warriors usually are nameless people? But God delighted to hear the prayer of this nameless person. Remember when Joshua fought the Amalekites after the exodus from Egypt? God showed us that the outcome of that war was not determined by the strength of the armies who fought, but what was happening behind the scene, behind on the mountainside. Let me take you to Exodus chapter 17, as you see there, verse 10 through 13. So Joshua, on the valley, fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. Look where Moses, Aaron, and Hur are. They're on the top of the hills. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hand grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on each side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Get it? Even though knives, swords, spears were used to crush and kill each other down there, the outcome of that war, physical war, the real world that you and I will see is happening, actually was not determined by the strength of the army of the people down there fighting, but it was determined by the people who were praying on the mountaintop. Friends, did you know our Lord Jesus also never lowered his arms as he went to the cross? In fact, according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, Jesus always lives to intercede for his people, he says, sitting at the right hand of the Father. In other words, he also never stops to pray for us. Just like Joshua won the victory because Moses, Aaron, and Hur were praying, my dear brothers and sisters, God's people, you and I, We can become victorious in this world against the fight against sin, against our anger, against our depression, against the things that are happening in this world. All the ugly things that are happening, we can overcome. Why? Because Jesus never stops to pray for his people, for you and I. That's our strength. That's our confidence. That's why we, on the appearance wise, look at me, and oh, short. I got nothing to offer in the world. Appearance wise, can't give you anything. But I don't speak of my own strength, do I? I come in the name of Jesus to you. And this Jesus, his hands are never lower for you. That's what I want us to learn today. I want us to learn that the battle we fight in this life is not won by the amount of money we possess, by the amount of power we have in this world. Democrats, Republicans, and all of this, they keep thinking if their party's won. They keep thinking the world has the power. For them, maybe, but in God's world, it is not money or power that has the strength to give us victory. It is in your prayer life. People of God, how is your prayer life? Have you stopped praying? Is it passionate? Is it urgent? Do you believe prayer literally can change you and can change everything? That's the message today. But there's one more thing I do want to say about prayer, and it isn't only in your prayer. I want you to see that the battle of prayer was never fought alone. Moses, as amazing as he was, he needed who? Aaron and her to hold him up so that he can continue to pray. That's what we want to do. We want to make a group of prayer warriors in our church so that together we can begin to hold each other and pray that our God will conquer the hearts of the people we love. Many of our church members who come have family members who are not in the Lord. And to me, tomorrow is not a guarantee. God has given us today for their souls. And you know, we have all tried to pray alone passionately, and yet they don't, it's like a match. There's a quick fire, but then it burns too quickly, don't it? And we have to let go. But when we begin to be like Moses, Aaron, and her, if you and I can begin to be a group and begin to lift up our husbands, our wives, our family, and our loved ones together. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, I believe your life, your family, our church, and our community will change. Not can change, will change. So I want to encourage you. After today, I'm going to send you my sermon notes, because at the end of my sermon notes, you'll find a page where I will explain and outline how to do a group ministry of together of God's people, you. And I hope to begin this coming Wednesday. Some of you, I especially targeted the ladies more, not because they needed more, actually it's quite the other way, but I would love to see us beginning together to pray like Aaron, Moses, and her, so that we can experience the saving of lives by our God through our prayers. Let me end it like this. This person who was nameless, I called him someone. You see, this someone carried the request. This someone walked the trail. This someone was willing to serve the Lord by serving others. Let's come to Jesus without needing to exalt ourselves and make a request on behalf of the people that are in need. Our Heavenly Father is looking for someone like that. Won't you be that someone? No name, no glory, just someone. That's all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, many of us have tried praying, and sometimes, Lord, it is such a difficult task. We shut our eyes, Lord, and sometimes really passionately believing pray, but they don't last long. Sometimes, Lord, we wonder, are you there? Do you even listen? Do you hear? Because the way we pray, you have an answer. So often, Lord, there are far more non-answered prayers than there are those whom you have answered. And so, Lord, we begin to have our doubts and our suspicion. Oh, Heavenly Father, will you, because we know by ourselves we're so frail and fragile, we need your grace, Lord. So will you bless us? Will you bless us into a group like Moses, Aaron, and Hur were, so that, Lord, together we'll pray for one another, we'll hold each other accountable, and we'll bless each other so that, Lord, not in our own strength, but looking to you, we will, Lord, stand strong and become like this person, this someone, nameless, and yet you used that someone so mightily that this person went to Jesus to plead the cause of the sisters, and you came. So, Heavenly Father, may that be our experience today. May that be the experience of our family and of our church. We thank you so much, and we pray all of these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.